Tamam.
Hello, my name's Rob Seltzer. Welcome to Exiled Eagles, the officially unofficial podcast of the current FA Cup and Community Shield holders for fans that live abroad. I think I got it right. And much like wins for Palace, we have been completely non-existent over the past couple of months, but we're back, and hopefully Palace will win on the weekend. Who knows? Wonders will never cease. I thoroughly admit this when I say it. Today is the A team. We have dropped the dead weight. We have man I've managed, so you could all thank us in after listening to this. But joining me today, Dale Quarty. How are you, Dale?
Guys, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And joining us live from a live cat burglary, he's in the actual apartment that he's burgling at the moment. Marky Werner, how are you, Mark?
I'm good. That burgling, also known as the job site, and trying to fucking get off and get home at some point this evening. Very apt intro, mate. We've what are we, year of the fire horse? We're coming to year of the snake. We've shed our skin from last year. We got rid of the bollocks, and yeah, just the A team remains, mate. So yeah, toiling away here, but happy to jump off the tools for a minute and chat to you lads, all things Palace.
Excellent. Well, good to see you, fellas. And it's because it has been a while. It has indeed been a while. And let's be honest, shit ton has happened. And look, in true Exiled Eagles fashion, we've missed all of it. So we might as well come at it from the last time. So I think where I want to start is with the manager, because I think everything stems there. So obviously, Glasner said the day before Sunderland that he's not renewing his contract and said it in October. So that's put that everyone's will he won't he questions to bed. I'll come to our resident criminal up there in Queensland himself. Like, what was your reaction to it? A, I suppose one, were you surprised that he's not signing a new contract? And B, how do you feel towards Glasner, the way he did it, like dropping it the day before a game?
Not surprised. I think we were all of the opinion that he would go at the end of the season anyway, or someone would come in for him that we, could match the coin and so forth. So no surprises there. I mean, it's a kind of thing of, I don't want to say peaking too early, but got us flying, got us a cup, Community Shield. We all want a bit of silver. We got that. We got our day in the sun. And I think everyone was kind of resigned to the fact that he wouldn't be here long term. After that, from the outside looking in, it didn't appear that he was kind of getting the support from Parrish that he may have thought he was going to or was promised. We don't know exactly where the dominoes fall on that front. So that's probably how it came about was a bit odd. Obviously, there was. The spray that he had and saying we've all been abandoned and so forth, which was a bit much, wasn't it? I mean, professional football, he's been down the traps. He must have had a fair idea what he was saddling up to, getting involved with Palace. The way he went about it, and there were two trains of thought on that where, he said, oh, it's come no surprise I told Steve in October, but then I heard or read elsewhere that that wasn't necessarily the case. So who knows? We'll never know what goes on behind closed doors. But I thought it was a bit out of character for him to carry on a bit the way he did. I thought he's generally more a bit more of a diplomatic bloke and not so emotive. I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. It's not come out of left field. And we've all been screaming that. We've finally got some position to kick on and pay service to that and make the right moves. And we did the usual, fuck, this is great, let's sit on our hands. And so it was kind of odd the way it went about. And then after that blow-up, every pundit was saying we won't go past Monday, it'll get the arse. And then it's then that then cascades into, well, you know, it's realistic. How much of a shift is he going to put in between now and season end? Knowing that he's outdoor, club knows he's outdoor. You know, he's already got credentials. Probably knows he's not going to get relegated. So, you know, he could be forgiven for thinking, you know, he might just be coasting and phoning it in. Obviously, it'll still be on his CV how he goes for the rest of the season. But yeah, I mean, if you want to foot out the door, you're not really busting the gut, are you? I mean, you're just gonna sort of dot some I's, maybe cross some T's, and shake hands at stumps. So yeah, we'll see. But yeah, bit funny how it played out in the end, all things considered.
Yeah, and I just before I come to you, Dale, I don't know you'll pick up on it. I would say that this is probably not out of character for Glasner. I think this is, if you look at kind of where he's been in the last couple of jobs, is it Frankfurt, did really well, fell out with them. And the place he was before that, I think, did really well, fell out with them. So I think this is character, but I just feel like, to your point, I understand that, like, he's very much towed the company line until that outburst. So yeah, it did come slightly out of left field. So Dale, how do you think it's gone? Or what's your feelings on it?
Oh, listen, he lost me. Done. Sorry, Glasner. Like, I was filthy after that Sunderland game, after that rant. And honestly, I didn't watch. I didn't watch all the Chelsea game. I watched 25-minute highlights. And the first time the camera cut to Glasner, I actually felt a bit like not sick, but I just felt like a bit of anger because he knew where he was. He knew who he knew the club, right? And he knows how we operate. And if he'd been made promises and those promises were broken, I get it, incredibly frustrating. The time and place to do it is not in a post-match interview in front of a camera. It's back at Beak Street in Parrish's office. You don't run around and say, we've been abandoned, we've been this, we've been that. Mate, you're the one who set this whole wheel in motion 2 seasons ago with, I want a small squad. Then, oh, the squad's not big enough. Oh, I haven't got the right player. Mate, ultimately, you make decisions and you live and die by those decisions. If you don't think we've got enough, the right players, well, I'm sorry. If we need to pad out the bench, pad out the bench. And this all harks back to me to the back end of his very first half of the season he had, when we were beating teams 5-1 and 4-0, whatever, I was playing great football. And he would do stuff like take off Michael Olise and bring on Jordan Ayew. Now, I'm the biggest Jordan Ayew fan there is, but what was the point in that when you're 4-1 up? Bring on one of these youngsters. Let's see how good they are. Let's give them some exposure. Let's get them ready for the time when we might need them. As opposed to suddenly going to play bloody cups or whatever, and you're throwing these kids to the wolves who've never played a first team game before, who then and then just for us to go and lose 4-1 to bloody Leeds 2 days later, like don't even say we've been abandoned, because mate, it's partly on you. Yes, Parrish and the board could have done better, but it's partly on you. I don't like the way he's gone about it. And now, because Parrish, to his credit, has turned around and said, hey, we should be sacking you, but unfortunately, you got a contract. You stay here, you see it out. He's now to come back with his tail between his legs. Now, on the flip side, what I will say is, and I know we're going to get onto the transfer window that's just closed. If we had done this back in August, we were not in this situation now. Right? Whether you want to say we should have got Dwight Gayle or one, a defender or whatever, it doesn't matter. Had we got Johnson or equivalent, Strand Larsen or equivalent, Guasan or equivalent in September, August, September, we're not in this situation now. And Glasner's probably staying. But anyway.
I mean, I would say I don't think Glasner was ever going to stay. I don't think. I think he's always wanted to move on to
Okay,
bigger
sorry.
and
Let
better
me rephrase
things.
that. We probably don't have this situation and the rant.
No, you're right. I would.
That's
Oh,
what I
yeah.
mean.
I would. Yeah. Fair enough. I can. Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right there. Just want to. It's hard for me that, you know, bringing on the kids when it's late on is a catch 22, right? This is where the man management piece comes in. Because you're 4-1 up against Leeds or whoever you're 4-1 up against with Mike, and Michael Lee says, turn him a new arsehole. And you've got a Jordan Ayew on the bench. And then instead of bringing him, and like, he's a, you know, an experienced professional footballer, you know, a senior professional footballer. And instead of bringing him on, you bring on, let's just throw a name out there, like a Romain Eze who hasn't played much. What are you going to think? You know, so it's, I get it. Like, I wanted to see the youth thrown in earlier as well. But then if you've got certain players that just never get on the pitch as well, this, and look, it's not for me. That's not my job. I'm not a football manager. I'd love to be a football manager. Then I'd go somewhere, sign a 5-year contract, be awful for a year and get sacked and get paid out. And then do that 2 or 3 times. Retired, lovely jubbly, but you know, I can see both sides of that. That I suppose a quick question of a carry on from that. I'll go to Dale first, and then to you, Marky Mark. Is Glasner's position tenable? Let's take out the fact that he's probably on the hot seat for our form anyway. Let's say he turns it around, or like, but do you think his position is tenable to the end of the season?
I think it's tenable until we get knocked out of Europe. All things being equal, we stay in this 10, 12-point buffer to the relegation zone. So you're not in danger of getting relegated. And you're going well in Europe, you keep him. If you're still not in danger of getting relegated, but obviously, if shit goes absolutely wrong, and we are suddenly second from bottom, you've probably got to say you've got to get rid of him. But all things being equal, I think they keep him till the European campaign's done. The harsh reality is, if you're a public figure and you did that in 99% of cases, you're gone. Amorim went, Maresca went, and the reason they went, those managers went, is because really, United have nothing to play for apart from getting in Europe. So it's okay to replace them with somebody else. They're going to finish around in and around those positions. Chelsea had a ready, like, oh, we're going to do a search for a new manager. I mean, come on, it was always going to be you feed the club's manager and half his squad's going to come into Chelsea anyway. So I think he's very lucky to still be in the job. Obviously, Parrish has decided that's what he wants to do. Had he turned around and sacked him, I don't think there would have been any complaints from any Palace fans.
Marky Mark, you think it's sensible?
On the face of it, no, because it certainly bucks the trend of how you generally see this play out between other clubs and respective managers when stuff like this goes down. I think it probably all hinged on Europe. If we've got no European interest or comp to play, I think you're gone. Get someone in, know the system, get a pre-season in, and go again next year. So I think the European aspect is probably what swings the balance, I dare say. I mean, it's a foot in each camp, isn't it? I mean, you have to say no. If the writing's on the wall, then there's just that thing. How much are you getting out of a guy who knows, best case scenario, the end is nigh and stops here? That's where we got, 13, 14 games left in the season, Europe ahead of us. Like I said, every punt game, we've got Monday. He's gone Monday. And in particular with him saying, well, I'm going to go at the end of the season. So I thought, right, let's just rip the band-aid off now and get on with life. But we've probably just got a little bit too much at stake to do that as such. And he's contracted, so I guess, there was a pretty heady chat had between himself and Steve, and they've obviously come to an agreement or met in the middle and been like, fuck, all right, well, I'll do my best bit here for you, which, it's in his best interest to do so. He doesn't want to hang around and shit the bed because it will be noted by potential suitors in the future if he doesn't have one lined up already. I mean, there's a case for both, but on the face of it, just at chip at face value, Yeah, you have to say untenable.
I'd love to agree with you, Mark, but unfortunately, I think his track record of bringing silverware in wherever he goes, like, and especially as a club like Palace, will get him a job no matter what. But I agree with you. I don't think it's tenable. Like, we're in a horrendous rut. I mean, the Forest game was a perfect, that first half, I feel like, was a perfect kind of our season in a nutshell, right? We're in a rut. Ball bobbles around it from a shitty long throw. Hits Sarr in the chest, falls perfectly to Gibbs White, smashes into the bottom corner. And then we started carve we carved them apart a little bit in the first half, and we completely wrong decision, didn't shoot for some obscure reason. Like we had a massive goal mouth scramble, they cleared the ball. It's just that's how it's happening at the moment. When you're in a rut, last season, they wouldn't have scored, we'd have scored three. That's just how it was. But how if you're playing for that manager and he says, right, you've got to put your body on the line for me, boys. That how can you do it?
They
How can you
can't.
do it?
No, you can't.
That exactly. And we need that.
I wonder how the conversation's gone, right? Because rightly or wrongly, Gahey's gone. He's your captain. He's your voice. Now, I appreciate Dean Henderson and Will Hughes, probably big voices in the dressing room, who, if you're Parrish, you go to and say, hey, what's going on? What are the boys saying? But regardless, and I know a lot of stuff gets said in media that is very different to what gets said in dressing rooms. We know that. But if you hear the manager come out and say that the performance isn't good, you're not this, you're not that, and being abandoned, essentially saying that I haven't got good enough players to play these games, he tells you you've got to do this. You're not doing it. You back your head, you go, oh, do you know what, mate? You're out. I don't want to be here if you're going to be like this. And what happens? Performances start to dip off. It's obvious.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if you know that the leader doesn't want to be there, how can you go fight for that leader? And I know
I've met
you're in
two
well-being.
leaders who didn't want to be there. Two.
I know you're in
Yeah.
well-being sport now, and I've done the course as well. And so I know, like, the sport people would think, well, you're playing for these fans, and there's 40,000 people every week. But it's a mentality thing, right? I get it, you get it, but like it's quite hard to explain, and we're not going into that right now. If you want that's going to be the well-being podcast with Robin Dale that we'll be starting in the next couple of weeks.
Please.
There's a plug for you there. Get me a job. All right, enough about that. So the transfer window has slammed shut. We have signed a striker that I know a little bit about. We've signed a midfielder or an attacking midfielder that I know nothing about. And a kind of wide player that I know a little bit about. So, we've broken our transfer fee twice, which is, we're certain that they're certainly put the money down. What would you give the window? We'll come to the players in a second, but just what would you give the window out of 10? Let's go to the burglar himself.
Out of 10 for the window, and the wash up of what it was and wasn't. It's hard not to be swayed by just the amount of cash that was splashed, but I have arguments that it possibly could have been better spent. I don't know the world about the guys we spent big on. But you can, or you must say, if that's their prices. There's some quality there. So, look, given how shit our windows normally are, and they are, seven and a half? Seven?
Yeah, similar enough. Cool. What do you
Yeah.
reckon? What do you reckon, Dale?
You're generous. I'm going to give it a four. And the reason I'm giving it a four is it is. As it currently stands, it looks like we've overpaid for Johnson. You can argue based on this season, we've definitely overpaid for Strand Larson. However, I don't think we're buying in based on this season. I think we're interested in what we saw last season. I went and looked at his goals from last season. They are goals that we don't score. So people see the number of his goals are him stretching his leg out in the box and getting it on target. And we just don't score those sort of goals, right? So you're obviously buying him around that, but I still think he's a bit overpriced. Obviously, Newcastle wanted him to start the year, season. Leeds are interested, so there's obviously interest there. I think the loan for Evan Gwosan, I think that's how you pronounce it. I think the loan for him's a good deal, but again, he hasn't set the world alight at Villa, so you think, have we overspent there? We'll wait and see. You lost your captain and one of the best defenders in the world for £20 million. Now, I know it was that or nothing, but still just hurts a little bit when you go, yeah, you lost that quality of player for so little money. And we've been left with a striker who I think will be very difficult to integrate back into the squad if he is indeed coming back and not having this surgery. Like the whole Mateta thing now, he's going to be behind Strand Larsen if he is fit. And he needs to score goals to get the fans back on side.
And we'll come to Mateta. Keep your powder dry, Mateta. We will come to Mateta.
I'm just saying, so based on that, that's why the fact we've got that player there who doesn't want to be there, who hasn't been scoring, who we tried to offload and potentially had three offers for and didn't go anywhere. And if you look at the BBC website, they talk about medicals and why players fail medicals. It's not because there's a big glaring problem. It's because other clubs suddenly decide they just don't want him and they can set a parameter for whatever they want. So that's why I'm giving it a four. Ask me in a month's time, this could be a seven or an eight if those players who we bought do what we bought them to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I'm going to say it. A four's harsh. I'm going to go like six and a half. So, I know you can't do this, but if you take the players we got, if you just put them there, we got a top scorer from a European winning team last season in Spurs. We got their top scorer last season. We've got the top scorer from Wolves last season. Now, in isolation, you tell a Palace fan you're signing two Premier League clubs' top scorers, we're like, what the hell's going on there? That's incredible business, right? The going rate is, you know, have we slightly overpaid for Johnson? A mate of mine is a Spurs season ticket holder, used to be a journalist, knows his football. He likes Johnson. He said like he's a limited player, but he does what he does well, he does very, very well. I just think I agree with you, Dale. I think we need to see a lot more from him. I've been very disappointed by the last couple of games that he's played. Chelsea, we heeded nothing, and then Forest also nothing. Like when you try to take the player on the outside, I mean, I could have done that. That like, I could have defended against that. Let alone I could comfortably give the ball away. I do that all the time. Guess what? I haven't got a clue about him. Never heard of him. Well, I heard of him because we were interested in the summer. That's it. So I can't really comment on that. Looks good. Obviously a decent player. We'll see how we go. Gueye, I would love to have kept, but I think we have to be realistic. A club, Man City, come on, he's going to be interested. And then they say, hey, here's 300 grand a week. You know, you can't keep the player. You can't say no, because then that's going to affect us being able to buy the next Mark Gueye if we try and get the next Mark Gueye, for example. Our pitch to these players, our pitch to Wharton, our pitch to Elise, our pitch to Gueye, our pitch to Ebbs is come for us for a couple of years. We'll develop you. We'll see you on. If we said no, well, we've completely gone back on our word with something like that. And that would hurt us, I think, in the long run. Where we did, I think we are at least a centre-back short and a centre-midfielder short. And to me, the Dwight McNeil attempt suggests, because I mean, I think they're looking at him from a central midfield standpoint, because I don't think they're looking from a wide player standpoint, because I don't think he fits, he'll oust any of the four that would be in ahead of him.
Play centre midfield, Dwight McNeil. He's a winner.
But wait, well, like, who would he?
I have no idea. I like the signing of Dwight McNeil. I think he's a good player. I would have happily had him. But I agree. I don't know where we'd play him, and
I don't see him as that wide.
No, he's not. He's not. Could he play as a 10? Possibly, but if
you think, like, I don't see that either.
I didn't see it either. He could possibly play as a 10, and I suddenly thought to myself, if we had Sarr, Gwosan, Johnson, Pino, and McNeil, I had no idea what formation we're going to play.
Five doesn't go into two.
The only thing you could suggest was Pino was going to drop back into midfield and then into centre midfield, and we'll be even more lightweight than we already are. And the reality is that's Kamada and Walton when they're all fit. So I don't know where you'd play him. I don't know where you'd play him.
I didn't get it. I didn't get that one either. And it also,
neither,
but also suggests to me, huh?
Neither with his missus.
Yeah, I think we should comment that in a second because that's not a good look for Palace. But also suggests to me someone like that Decore is not going to play this season again either. Like they
he's
say, they
going to be in the squad next week. I believe it
I don't
when
think.
I see it. I believe it when I see
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
He's meant to be fit.
Exactly. Well, we'll see. But I think it's absolutely right that we touch upon the post by Dwight McNeil's partner, because I think she makes some very, very good points, if I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I think Palace are hunt. If we were in for him and we've just pulled up, we didn't fancy it at the last minute. I get it's business. I understand that completely. Like, it's not my money and all those type of things. But it's horrendous. That's absolutely horrendous. Like, they've obviously been talking for a while. Things are happening. The players moving. They're moving their life, all that type of stuff. And then just to put out the last minute, there's a mental health standpoint. There's a well-being side to that as well that I think we should acknowledge, because I don't think that paints the club in a good light at all. At the end of the day, they're going to turn around in 2 weeks' time, and or probably they're probably turn around so they don't give a shit anyway. But you know, if it comes down to a player like to sign for a player to sign for us in a club that hasn't done that, then maybe they go to the other club. Who knows? I hope it doesn't end that way. But I do want to point out that that doesn't sit well with me the way that was done. To be honest, like, I support Palace, I love Palace, but you know, I don't agree with everything that's happened. And I think all of us have highlighted a few things on here that if they were to happen, that we would kind of back away from kind of supporting the club. Obviously, it's not that drastic, but I just think that's a real shitty thing to do at the 11th hour because I didn't fancy it.
Yeah,
How did it all? What was the official line of why it shit the bed?
There's no official line. Nothing should come out of the club, of either club. It's just his missus put a 4-page post up on her Instagram story, basically saying club pulled the pin at the last minute, and that's it. I mean, look, it's an interesting one, right? Because there will be two very different sides of the football club.
Of course,
there is football ops and there is everyone else. And Palace have a very good reputation in the UK for how they deal with their players post leaving the club, how they care for their players when they're at the club, etc., etc. They have no obligation to Dwight at all. But And if the club realises that signing him is not the right thing to do, they are perfectly within their rights to pull the pin. The onus now is on, the reality is the onus is on the relevant people at Everton to make sure he is okay. Unfortunately, it's not for Palace to look after. It's a shit thing that they've done, but the onus is on the right people at Everton to look after him because he is their employee. So
yeah,
you have to hope that they will do the right thing by him now.
Yeah, look, everything you said there, right, Stel? Palace owe Dwight McNeil absolutely nothing. I'm not saying we owe him anything. I think it leaves a bit of a sour taste in the mouth that, you know, the way that was all conducted. And that, to your point or your question, Mark, I think some people are saying Palace missed the deadline to get the deal sheet in. Some people are saying that basically, they just went cold. That they were going to, they agreed everything, and then just basically stopped picking up the phone, stopped returning, and then just pulled out the deal. Look, there's this side, there's this side, and then there's the truth. Right? You're never going to get it. But I just think it'd be remiss of us. Oh well, look, I personally feel it'd be remiss not to touch upon that because, you know, there is a human element to all of this stuff. As much as we love to, you know, jump on the number one source of football truth, which is Twitter, and as we know, and read all these rumours and see all these players coming in. It's not nice. It's not nice. All right, so I'm conscious of time because I want because Mark, you know, he's been sitting there for a while, and the police may get called at any minute, and he's got his loot he's got to get out with. So, we put it to the palace, some other palace fans to throw some questions at us, for tonight. So I might hand over to Dale to go through a couple of them, and we'll touch upon a couple. Then we can talk about. I've got a game for us tonight, actually. That we'll end up with. So that'll be exciting for all everyone to find out. But yeah, we'll flick on to. I think we've touched upon there, like, in summary, decent window. In a month's time, it may be a great window, but you know, the jury's out, and Glasner hasn't quite got to Roy Hodgson levels of gotta go with me, but I think he's gotta go. We can talk about
Yeah,
the next manager at a time. Dale,
can sort it
over
out
to you, mate.
as
Scroll.
we speak. Quickly, just before we go to Dale and jump off the transfer stuff, Ned, who's unfortunately not with us tonight, to the joy of all, no
He's not
doubt.
dead. He's not dead, though. It's fine.
Yeah, no, let it be known, he's not deceased. Yeah, bit of transfer news of his own since we potted last. He's brought a wife in and he's freed him out. So, a lot going on at his place. Congratulations, Ned. We obviously would have touched on it if you hear about it, but yeah, had his nuptials since the last pod and enjoying married life, no less.
Cannot wait for the Ned special honeymoon edition where he appeared to neglect his wife, new wife, a heck of a lot, and just talk to everyone on WhatsApp about Palace. So.
And long may this nuptial thing continue because we've podded once since he's been married and he's not been on it. So this is a great start to the marriage and the pod here. So I'm all for that. Dale, you got some questions for us?
Yeah, all right. First one wasn't a question. I'll turn it into one. Do we need to get David Ozo back for squad depth?
We could do probably not. I would say keep him playing some good quality football in the championship. That's a player I would like to see in the squad next season. You know, if worst comes to worst, you just keep blooding, keep giving Rodney a go. Not have him in there. Deveney's injured, but he'll come back. Kamada's on the way back. I think we have enough there, but I'd rather Ozo plays week in week. There's no point bringing him back, and he doesn't. You know, we do the Rak-Sakyi thing. You bring him back and you stick him on the bench. Let him play.
I agree. Mark, for you, can most of our failings this season be blamed on Jean-Philippe Mateta?
Sorry, what's the first part of that question?
Can most of our failings this season be blamed on Mateta?
Oh, most seem a bit harsh, but given his form and what we come to expect from him and how he sort of lit up when he got the nod to France, he just went off a cliff, didn't he? JPM, it was, took him a little while to bed in, and then he was kicking goals literally, and then he wasn't, and annoyingly, just so fucking close a lot of the time. I don't know if you guys saw in the top five European leagues, he's number four for missed XG. As a club, we're number one. So he fits the bill with the theme of how the club's going at the moment. Most seem harsh to put on one man's shoulders, but he's not doing himself any favours. And then, yeah, got a bit Klinenstein with the whole, not playing the Forest game, and he's like not in the right space for it type thing or whatever. Like, if I get paid a fucking lot of money, you've got a game coming up and you're fit, you play. Particularly if you think you're world class and all that, you should be able to put all that shit to bed for 90 minutes and go and ply your wares. So look, I wouldn't say most, but he's certainly got to bear a chunk of the brunt.
Do you mind if I jump in there quickly? Because I've got a follow-up question from that as well. Is I would completely disagree and say yes, most of it is because him not scoring then puts a shit ton of pressure on other people to score who hasn't then scored, and his whole job is to score, and it also puts a shit ton of pressure on the defense not to concede. So it's like I can think of at least 5 points that we would have had if he wasn't the donkey that he is at the moment. You can think the Bournemouth game when he skied one from 3 yards out when he got the hat trick. And then against Everton, if he'd scored that, we win that game. I've got no doubt about it. And they're just too quickly off the top of my head. I know he's missed like against Wolves, but we won that. You got the Fredrikstad away that, we still got through.
And Liverpool just before Nketiah scores the winner.
Yeah, but we win that, so that hasn't affected our points
Yeah,
total.
it's the same with misses.
Yeah, but those two, like those the Everton misses and the Everton and Bournemouth misses have genuinely cost us points. So yes, I do. So then if I'll just come on to the question. I don't know if you're going to come to it, Dale, but
No, I wasn't
we
the first one.
touched upon it before. Can John, very similar along the Glasner lines, but can Jean-Philippe Mateta get back into the good graces of A, the Palace fans, and B, the squad, because they're clearly pissed.
If he doesn't play again this season, then no. If he does play again this season, he needs to score important goals. It needs to be, for example, a winner, a backheeled winner against Brighton. It has to be a goal that wins us a game which we were struggling in, or wins us a game in the Conference League, for example. It has to be a big goal. It can't be we win 6-0 and he scores the sixth goal. And he needs to now, if he plays, kick on. But the inference is he's not going to play. So I think this horse has maybe run its race, but we'll see.
Mark, Mark.
Was there another question interjected? I thought we were just going on about
No,
Mateta, but
that's all right. We'll go to the next
Ken.
one. I've got one. Here we go. Don't worry about Mateta, he's a goose. Selts. This might be a bit of a tricky one, but any ideas or any feelings on who would be a good replacement for Glasner?
I don't know enough about.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Bournemouth manager is available because I think his contract's up at the end of the season. He looks quality. He's done an amazing job there. But I'm sure there's millions of good managers out there that I have no idea about. So,
Exactly right. Yeah.
I can answer that one quickly if
go
I
on then.
can.
You're going to say Joel Ward, aren't you?
No, he's busy at Swansea these days.
Oh, okay. Well.
I've at least I've got a B team now to support in footy. Is that bloke? What's his name? Ange starting with P. Cobblers, great name or something. Yeah, he'd be all right.
Okay.
I heard, and I don't even know where I heard it, that Johnson, part of him coming to Palace, was that Ange was going to be at the helm next season. I don't
That, listen, my biggest concern if Ange becomes Palace manager is the Johnny come incredibly latelys who'll be knocking around Sydney, Brisbane, etc., suddenly thinking they're Palace fans, and that will really bug me. But anyway, whatever.
know.
Next question to Mark. In all of this chaos, how important is the progression of the redevelopment of the main stand?
Well, it's become taken on a life of its own, hasn't it? Because we've been fed so much in, what are we in, about year four or five now of this first being touted. And, no dirt has been turned at this point. The only significant step or steps has been, and it's a couple of years now ago now, we've got council approval and all got the nod or something. So I was like, all right, cool, shit's happening. And then it was, Sainsbury's. And I was like, oh, there's a couple of fucking houses. And then I think the last one was they'd acquired those homes, apparently. It feels like we're just been taken for fucking mugs, really. Like we're just getting drip fed. Oh, yeah, this thing, but we'll sort it out. Oh, we sorted that out, like this thing. But mate, the long and the short of it, fuck all's happened. So I can't feel being a bit fucking mugged off by the whole thing. And then that in turn, I think is, bearing a little bit of resentment from supporters towards Parrish and Co, because it's like just fucking stop talking shit over here about the stand unless you're going to fucking actually do something. And
there have been clubs, in the time it's taken us to talk about a stand, clubs have built entire stadiums.
It's not even full ground of all. It's a fucking stand at the end of the end of the pitch. So, it's become a hindrance rather than a help, given the just the lack of action and the all talky, no doey.
I agree with that. All right, two more. We sort of covered this one, but just quickly, based on new signings, can you see a tweak to the system?
Potentially, because I mean, look, we spoke with McNeil there, like, where would he play? From what I read and see, Gesson's more of a kind of a like a an Eze's type player as well. Maybe in the whole Pino, I thought Pino looked really good playing in that position as well, that kind of false nine. So maybe, it also gives us, you know, having two centre backs and having one.
Rob's frozen.
Oh, Salts is gone. Anyway, enough of that. Last question goes to you anyway, Mark, and it is on
said,
he's back.
All these signings are going to put us back, what is it, 5 weeks or something stupid?
Salts, yeah. I've just muted you because we lost you for most of what you said, so don't worry about it. We won't come back to you, just leave it as it is. And now I can't. Oh, yeah, you're back there. Last question, Mark. This is from Alex B, who you wouldn't have met. But he said, in his attempts to cut down on dairy, should he switch to coconut yogurt?
Coconut?
yogurt. Yeah.
Yeah, yogurt. Depending on what primary school you went to. That's tough to answer, given I've never met Alex. I'm a fan of coconut water. If that helps.
Coconut's disgusting. Just generally disgusting. So it's a no. Stop being a dickhead and move on with life.
It's not great. Probably just fucking put your big pants on, Alex, and get in the world of real fucking yogurt, mate. Stop pissing about with coconut.
Exactly. The life's too short to not enjoy a good yogurt, like a good one. Yep. None of that coconut shit.
Thank you.
All right, so some stunning questions and rounded up beautifully by Alex's one there. I think that just sums up quite nicely. But before we go, I do have a quiz. So think Palace in the 90s.
I'm out.
Australian striker.
He's only gone and got it. Quite superb.
I mean, I thought I had them there. So yeah, Colby, it was indeed the answer. So well done, Dale. All right, that's a lot. That's your lot for today. I think we didn't cover a whole shit ton, to be honest with you. But I think we covered the most important parts. We're rusty. Who gives a shit? So it all left me to say thanks, Dale. Thanks, Mark, and you can get back to work now.
Thank you.
We'll pod potentially before the end of the season. Who knows?
Yeah.
If we do, lucky you guys. If we don't, lucky you guys. You win either way. So always thank you all for listening. It's Brighton on the weekend. Oh God. And let's hope us podding takes us to victory on Monday morning. Obviously, I'll be watching the 3-minute highlight, so who cares? Up the Palace.
I'm just going to say the outro music isn't working, so anyway, bye.
there it goes. There it is. Like a Jean-Philippe Mateta reintegration, he's coming at the last minute.